my little tiny, tiny little dusty little thing I said, and I was looking at it, I thought, oh, I want to go to the I'm going to just eat some of this. And it's just using medicine, and I didn't know, and I felt, so I just wet my thumb up and my finger and lick it off a little bit. It doesn't have any taste of anything, but, you know, it's just, I had, gold is so interesting because it has, it's 19.3 times heavier than water. It's one of the most specific gravity. It just acts different. And you look at a creek, and if you're going to be dredging, you want to kind of know, well, where would that boat go? And it's a phenomenal metal. And I appreciate your thoughts on it is expensive. I apologize for that. But that goes gold. You know, it's not like a piece of course, and it's handcrafted really with the people that work it up are really goldsmiths. It's not made in China and imported over here. So you're not going to see it in Costco ever.
Just a catch on that bracelet.
Yeah, did a nice double thing on that too. And it's very interesting. But, it's part of it, I think, why, and I think finding it is a lot of fun. You know, you don't even think that it's money at the time. And the guys that work here are just, they're the kids that probably are a little off themselves in some ways. My son is one of them. You'll see him. I mean, just in a way that they're not going to be able to work at a desk. Or they're, you know, you either like it, and we've tried to build that pride up in what they're doing. Because they are going someplace, they're working hard, they're risking their lives, they've got to be smart. But even when we find gold, and we share, in the old days, you might be the specimen boss, and you're the grunt. So you get the gold, and you get to stay there and watch it, and these guys are put out to pasture to go and dig pistaches, is what they're called. But we just say, come on in, and if it's not your ship, we got to where we get a pocket. We would order pizza, and we get, and so the delivery people and the pizza parlors in Madison and Grass Valley, it would happen. And so 16-1 got pizzas ordered, so they must be into something. And then the guys would call their watch or phone them and say, hey, you know, late and stay until midnight or something. Time makes no difference in there. You'd be surprised how fast it goes. And we all get there, share a bag of egg, and I got to tell you, it's nothing to do with money. It's all about bringing it out, finding it, and feeling proud about what you're doing.
It's the proceeds, not the product.
Yeah, and then of course we have to have it because there's all these bills. My job is to manage it and maximize its benefits. But at that moment in time to find it, it's not like, oh, I'm rich. Oh, it's just, wow. Anyway, so.
Yes. Well, has anybody seen these promos on television? Is that this year under one of the jewelry?
Why they're in the paper, they're around the
clock. Yeah. Well, belt the devil will send you cash.
Yeah. I know.
You wouldn't want to do that to you.
Oh, no.
But you have to figure that's artwork all
the time. Yeah. I mean, it's jewelry. And that's, it really is. And it's just not totally, it's appreciated by people that know. And I had some back in Chicago one time. I was visiting somebody. I showed him this, and then he had five or six or something different ladies around and asked them which one they would like. And it was interesting. One of them picked out the one that had the most. I said, they're all the same price. So she picked out the one that had the most gold in it because it had the most gold. And another one picked out one that pleased her a little more aesthetically. So you look at a ring or you look at something or a pendant, and you'll have something that'll be unlike anything else. And if it speaks to you, then one does, don't worry about it. One has more gold than they do. Somebody asked me, I want a pen, I got it at my desk. I want an inch and a half by 3/4 inch cabochon, and if possible, I'd like a cross in the center. That's still sitting on my desk. I didn't even answer that one yet. Oh, yeah, well, let me see. We'll just go order one. So, anyways, we're going to go down. We're going to go underground. If you have someone, you want to eat underground or do you want to eat out?
We can.
It's up to you guys.
Underground.
Yeah, with this place we can stop.
I've got bag lunches for everybody that's got cookies and chips and a juice in there and napkins, and I got plates. I bought some plumbins, and I've got some Ronsons if you want that with your box.
down there, we'll just kind of lay out how we're going to go or what you can expect. There's times that we're just going to walk from one place to another. Any other questions?
Yes. What's the deepest operating depth, or the deepest, and then also the deepest depth that we're going to?
Well, we're only going to go to one level.
Okay.
But what we're doing is when we're going into mine, the mountain's going up higher.
Right.
This is the type, we're going to stand right here. We'll stand right there. I'll talk to you about the type of shaft. This is the deepest shaft in this whole area, 3,000 feet. And we're going to take a, we're going to stop here. I might as well do this one a little bit. We're just going to move through here. I'll tell you about that as a cross cut. We're going to go in with the hoist room where this shaft goes down. Then we'll continue around. We're going to take a little, have a little geological study right there. Really nice spot to stop. Then we'll continue and we'll stop here and look at that. Then we're going to go on back out to, we're going to end up at a fish pond. I'll tell you about the fish pond. Then we can have lunch right out someplace right in here. Then walking back, we'll just more or less just walk back. And so we'll leisurely go in, hit the spots, talk about things, and we'll just kind of walk.
Are we on the surface coming back?
Pardon?
Are we on the surface coming back, or we're still on the ground?
Once we get underground, we're just going to
stay underground.
And it's fine. I mean, it's just going to be a different experience. But if anybody feels uncomfortable, you'll know right away. And I just don't want you. Please, you know, if you do, it's okay, but it's really going to be fun. We wouldn't have anything changed, but I will tell you, it's not Disneyland, and everything in there is like a mine. Because it is a mine. You're going into gold mine. You're not going into an amusement park.
Yeah. allow them, like, on group of people as well. I was working with the office in the shore of Africa.
Yes, yeah.
And they wanted, they had so many wells that they needed to know which wells to put our human expertise on. So we just kind of developed a tool that allowed them to be able to say, you know, forget these wells.
We'll do that.
He's with me.
Bill was
okay.
With you?
Okay.
Okay.
They had boots in there, you know.
Okay.
You know?
The first, yeah, where the bell is. Okay.
They had boots in there.
Oh, mine didn't have my name on it.
Somebody opened up the thing with the pastors.
Yeah, it smells good.
It smells good, doesn't it?
Somebody getting into my pasties?
Oh, I can smell them.
Yeah, I can smell them.
The big decision is going to be, I've got five chicken and the rest are beef. So whoever wants a chicken, we're going to have to... But they're marked. I know which one you're going to
be. You need to worry about the chicken. Did we lose some?
If Bronson's and Plowman's are okay with pasty, anybody like that? So
okay.
I'll bring those into my backpack. Spoon them out and enjoy it. Okay.
Back in Wisconsin, thank you. Expect you to have chili sauce.
Well, being prepared for the water.
Yeah.
Stand, see a mark, this is me. Go ahead.
Fascinating that the Hawaiians, the islanders, actually
yeah.
Mark Twain mentioned a lot.
You're kind of squaring up on the road, so you're going to have plenty of room behind you.
Talked about a lot from the stage. How these people were basically hoodwinked. They were signed on as laborers and told they'd come back rich. And this wasn't necessarily the mines, but I imagine it worked the same way.
Sure.
And they were basically reduced to slaves.
And they're still hoodwinking people now, huh? Nothing's changed.
No, I suppose not. I imagine these companies that came over.
Mike mentioned the power company, which I'm a little familiar with, working there for 33 years. The first high voltage transmission lines were from up in this area down into Marysville in the world. They raised the high voltage transmission lines.
Right.
And it was because of all the mining up here. They had all these plumes and water sources and whatnot. So they put in hydraulic dams and and Pelton wheels to generate electricity. And Marysville was one of the first towns served by electricity coming over transmission lines into the valley. And from there it grew into Sacramento. Most of the founders of my company, which is about 103 years old now, I think, were people associated with the mining industries up there and whatnot. And they saw the need for electricity, and that's where we did it. And we generated direct current electricity, which can't be transmitted as far. But that's all the, in all the towns, the original lighting in the towns were all arc lights, and they used direct current electricity.
Also very close to here, on the way back into town, is the first long-distance phone line in the United States that was operated. And that was, I think that started at Peterson's Corner or in that vicinity of North San Juan.
I think so, yeah.
So there is a lot of history just from the mining.
Yeah, he said to come left at the bell. Yeah. So that's where we're at. I guess this is the mine office. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm really underground. I can't see anything.
You have no idea how fast I was going trying to catch up with you guys.
You were up there.
So then I better, sure. And I'm looking in the mirror and his great legs are tight. I don't know, my God.
You must have
gone
through town and got ready to come out.
I just left the church and got on the freeway right away. Which way did you leave on
the... We went over to towards South Auburn and went right on the freeway right there.
Well, you must have left after I did it. Very shortly or something. Yeah. Because, boy, I just didn't see you guys any place. I'm sorry I kept you guys waiting. So am I. I'm
worried about it.
Now have we got 16 aboard?
Maybe so.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
One,
two,
13,
three, four, five, six, 7,
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Okay. Let's take 16. I'm not leaving unless all 16 of you are on board.
Well, you're lucky there's no pubs here that I noticed. I drove right by it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, it's a great one. It's got peanut shells all over the floor.
Did you tell us that
there's
a stop on the way by.
Yeah,
we want to look in the water and all on the way back, really.
Can you remember that film, Deliverance?
Yeah.
I'm looking at my hopes up about the pub, probably the most exotic here they have there in Miller Lite.
I'm not sure how much San Juan is. The only time I've ever stopped there was back from wood cutting. I used to cut firewood up in this area. And we'd go back through North San Juan and pull in there. We're outsiders there. So you get the strangest looks when you walk into their little bar.
His great-grandfather didn't drink here, he was a foreigner.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
It's like that Las Vegas.
I'll just say that, Jim, we went into the Hollister Slate Mine in Cumbria, and that's underground. It's the same.
Oh! Was that in Wheels?
No, it's Cumbria. Cumbria.
There was a slate mine we went to in Wheels.
Yeah, well,
slate mine.
Yeah, this one was up in the lake this way.
You got on a ore cart. Took him into it. Yeah.
We don't talk too much about Wheels.
Well, I know. That's like us in Southern California.
Yeah. They can't sing very well anyway.
Haven't they made
blinding. Especially their bass sections. They haven't got a bass section.
I'm just trying to think if I've ever heard of a Welsh bass, actually.
Yeah.
Right, it's not Disneyland.
No,
that's all mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were over.
Look at that. Cornwall in 2000 and 2002. And then in 2002, a group of us went to Scotland. And we got interested in that area. So then the next year, my wife and I came back and we went to Wales for a week. We stayed in B&Bs and then we took the train to...
y'all may have got push.
That was fun. That was a fairly long train ride. I think it took about
12 hours.
Yeah.
Well, I just took the train to
Sacramento
from Chicago, so.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was a ride. Are you from Chicago?
My sister took that one time, and they got somewhere out of Reno, and the engineer, I guess, had run out of his hours of his time, and they just sat there for, and the toilets backed up. And
we got rerouted to Wyoming,
I don't know.
I'm not sure who they
are. Or if it's another group. I don't know. They decided to drive along. We might have to get out of there.
Tremendous weather.
There's the mill.
Our son and his wife came from Seattle to Chicago and they flew back.
Well, that's the Empire Builder.
Yeah. So
far. There's the road down there. Well, if the entrance was by the creek, though, I thought it did.
You might be right.
Kind of rich man out of it.
Right over tax the engine.
About 45 years ago, some friends of mine were talking about gold mining, and they mentioned that they knew about a place up on the Feather River, which is in Plumas County, the next county up. The Feather River is the next river system up. So we went up and we staked a claim. 20-acre claim, put the piles of rocks, and onto the county seat, had the thing recorded. And we worked this plaster camp for a bunch of years, had a lot of fun. Forest Service had come in and checked everything out, and then they said, well, you got to put in these retention ponds, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And we said, the liability is too great, so we backed off on it. But back in those days, you could do it. A piece of ground, you could go out and stake a claim, file it with the county. You had to pay what they called unsecured taxes on it, so we had to pay taxes on the land every year, which was just a few $100. And then every year you were required to file forms with the county saying that you've made so much improvement to the claim. And our claim bisected the Feather River, so we had shore on both sides. The claim next to ours was started out to be a fossil claim, and they got into the mine. The ground looked exactly, I mean, it looked just like this. The ground up there is just like this. And that claim turned into a hard rock mine, and it was owned by Lee Marvin. And, it was called the Mary Cameron Mine. And so that whole area was looking at mines. There's not too many of them working anymore, just kind of recreational stuff. But it was a lot of fun to get involved in mining.
Can you explain how you actually stake the claim at the site, and how did you actually do that?
Well, you found your point of discovery, and you put a pile of rocks, and you fill out a form, you put it inside a coffee can, and you put it in your stake, and then you measure off. You've got 1,200 feet by 2,000 feet, or whatever it happened to be at the time. And then we put corner markings and all that, and then you go into the county and you write a written description of where all this is located.
This is on
federal ground.
Now you will have the mules out to haul us back up back.
If anybody else came there, what did
right. We developed, we put up, we had a lovely little creek on the property. We put in a plume, so a big holding tank. We ran it down the hill, and I had a small Pelton wheel.
Okay.
And we had about 2.5 kilowatt generator that we hooked up, let the rice run night and day, water kept everything going. So we had good drinking water and electricity.
Keep in mind, there are a lot of people that never got buried but did get killed from being claim jumpers back in the old days.
Back in the old days.
They'd kick over the pile of stones, throw away the coffee can, and say it's ours, and answer for it.
The big problem with mining plaster claims when you get underground.
This is the biggest group we've ever had in.
Oh, get away.
I've had school kids and stuff like that, but never. This is the first time we've had this blessing. I wasn't even going to tell him about it.
That's all right. They also
have a 956 and another couple of loaders if we have them. You won't have to walk out of here. We'll figure it out. It's going to be hot, but only for a while. But we'll be here for maybe, get yourself ready, take your time.
I go ahead and lock it up.
You don't even have to worry about it.
Okay. I'm going to leave the window down.
You guys are, everything you leave is safe here. Very much sure.
Somebody take one of these.
Every time you see Mike, I know.
Mike, just pass them on down.
Oh, sorry.
Turn it off. Does anybody want a cold water to go with them?
Yes, please.
Okay, yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah, thank you,
Bob. All right. Reach over you in here and grab one.
No, I don't think so.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, in case I'm trapped down there and can't get back, the keys are here in the thing.
More chickens.
Who else
is going
to volunteer
for a chicken?
Got a meat one?
Just the bag at the moment.
That's what everybody wants. Chicken.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, you want one more chicken?
What we usually do, here's what we really do, and we have 200 people to share with these last weekend in June, and they come 200 sheriffs come, and we have a state card and all that stuff. We have like 40 school kids or something. We all have a count, right? And I know that I don't have to make you guys do that, but I'll just, you know, you can do it. We'll just start right here. Just go around. And just, everybody count. So start what?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
you're the 16th in the blue half, 17, 18, and one more is 19.
Oh, there's one getting out of the bus.
Yeah, we'll let him come through. Okay, so we got 19 people. We'll just do it.
Okay, so if you come out with 18, you'll send in a rescue party, right?
That's right. Depending on what we find in there. That's the other rule. So if we were coming, we have something called a double drive. And it's where the miners come. And we have really beat out old cars called crummies. Buy these old things. Get out, there'd be a railing right now. There's only 4 people working right now. So, and they're working in different places. Everybody put their lunch pail here, coming in with your street clothes, and we would walk back in this area. Well, this is small. We're just gonna walk through here. We would have a lock. And we would take off our street clothes and put on our papers. And then we go through another kind of an area. And we'll end up in this one. That's the purpose of it. So when you leave the mine, there's a transition between what you bring in and what you take out. For obvious reasons. And everybody, we had a bonus system. So I felt really good that everybody was honest. I really did. I know it sounds maybe naive, but we also had a lot of checks and balances in here. Who you work with, how you assign people, who's doing things. But the best one was we put a bonus. After a certain amount of revenue per month, a percentage went into a pool for all of the miners. And depending on the number of shifts they had. So if you were going to steal, you'd be stealing from him. And if he didn't want to steal, eventually the word would get out. You know? So it worked out really well. But all of us are here, then we say, okay, you're going to be the lunch, you know, there's a miner's rep. So somebody, they have to use by law, miner's rep, and that represents the miner's rep. We'll point somebody to the random lunch pail section, and just do that just for the reason of not hiding things in your lunch coming back out. So you leave them all out here, and your lunch pail can be looked at any time. So we'll just kind of, we'll do this because it's a nice view. We're going to look at what this is. We're in the process of building a rock wall, and put some showers in. Because basically we're going to abandon this area. We're going to go and try to, we call this the lower shop. There's an upper shop, and then we're hoping to get into the whole other area. So we're not going to probably put 40 or 50 people coming in here to go to work in this particular spot. But we'll just walk through, take a look at the connection. The 16-1 owns all the property except where some of the buildings are. We own buildings across the street. So where the town's built on, all the mining claims run through there, runs down through here, goes back up through the other side of the next mountain ridge as well. And I hope you got a chance to look at the beautiful canyon driving down. It's amazing me, you know, still. It's a nice canyon. The trees you can see here, cedar. There's a duck fir standing over there. There's pine trees. The oaks are just, we cut them up to firewood, but we have all timber right. Lumber is really down low right now, so it doesn't even pay to harvest any timber. But it's much better for the forest if you manage your forest. It just is. It's better if you manage the forest. And California has a deal where you can't cut anything. You brush, you know, understory, ready to catch on fire and burn everything out. The critters, the insects, the plants. They don't have any sun right now. They need all of our forests in here need to be properly managed. They have to be properly managed. But the cedars are right here. These two are cedars. This one, this one. That's the Douglas fir. Now the Douglas fir is what we use in the mine. And we use different. We're starting to shift to see. A lot of different applications going on in the mine as well. The Dutch fir is good, and then the pine, scattered pine. There's another tree called a white fir. And my lager's called a pistol. It smells a little bit, but it doesn't have the strength, and it doesn't have, you know, quite the beauty. So that's the low end of the pool. The cedars right now. The rock you see coming out of the mine is our waste rock. You're welcome to see. Pick up something in the mine too. And, you know, this group is better instead of telling you all these things and stuff, but just kind of log these in your head. You can have a quartz rock or something, you can pick them out here. But quartz is silica, which is glass. So it's going to be angular, and we all wear gloves when we're working. And so you're welcome to touch, not pull anything else down the wall. That's a better rule. You know, it's a little bit safer there. But all stuff is laying around, if you want to pick it up or look at it, and ask questions or take a rock out, that's fine. But remember, it's going to be quartz, it's going to be angular, and you just want to act accordingly. When we were talking to Bill, we came down on the left side coming down. You saw the mills going up in there. You might have even seen the old stamp mill done in the 1920s. The newer mill is on the side of that, and it's a ball mill. We crush it, and then we put it into a cylinder that goes around, and these balls cascade. And it goes like 28 revolutions per minute, which allows these steel balls to just roll like this. It's all done with water, and then you're grinding. You crush it, grind it, and then through a process of water concentration, you get rid of the sand, and the gold being heavy will stay in a series of collection boxes. After we do that, we amalgamate it here. We actually, we're fully permitted. We have a retorting system, and we use mercury to amalgamate the gold, and then we press the mercury out, we retort the mercury, we collect all the mercury, use it. You're using the same mercury for 25 years, so that's what we're doing it. And a little bit maybe evaporates in the air, something like that, but we're all, you know, everybody's very careful about dealing with mercury. And then we pour a bar, which we call Dore, D-O-R-E. And that's the gold that comes out. It's 85% gold, 14% silver. If we're selling all that locally now, small buttons to all the people that want to change some of their dollars for gold. And there's a whole group of people buy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ounces. Pick up the phone and it's a cash and carry deal. Gold is like money. You don't just give it to somebody and then they pay you later, you know? And so that's where a lot of it's going now. We've made some of it into jewelry, but let's make it instead of 10,000 ounces and wanted to go sell it right away. It wasn't jewelry quality. We pour it here in the bars, send it off to a smelter. There's about 4 or 5 different ones that we use. We're concentrating on one right now. Right next to the museum is the post office. We probably shipped $25 million at least out of that post office. Never lost anything. The limit here is the postal limit is $25,000 insurance. So, given the price of gold, we have to pour it in a size not to exceed $25,000. Send it off to the smelter. They refine the gold and silver. So then we get a credit, 89 ounces gold, 4 ounces silver. I pick up the phone at some point, say, what's the spot price? They say, $9.50. I said, sell 100 ounces. They'll wire the money to our bank. We'll get the money the next day in the bank, and that's how easy it is.
If somebody tells you it's complicated, it's not. But that's out there too, you know. And if you wanted to own some gold and you're worried about it, put it in the bottom of your favorite plant. You know? It doesn't, the house burns down, it'll still be there. It won't change anything in its shape or color. All this stuff about spending millions of dollars or thousands of dollars to store it. You know, if you can protect your watch or anything else, you can protect gold. So, and it's a fairly easy to move that stuff all over.
Didn't you used to smelt some of your own gold?
We never took it to the price. When you see the spot price of gold, $9.50 an ounce, that's 0.99995, 49. So someone's talking about, I hope I'm not telling you too many details. But anyway, 49. There has to be some chance. Back to gold in the sea is about 90.9 to get gold. There's other impurities. Like I said, ours, native here in the rock, is 85% gold, so it's 22%. So we don't take it down to that final step, and there's very few mines to do it. I mean, it's pretty inexpensive what they charge to do it. And then it's out of our, you know, once we get it into the smoke shop, I don't worry about it. It's out of my responsibility to worry about it. I don't care how much it's there, it's all fine.
I thought I was going to be there. That might be done. I mean, it was at one of your displays.
Yeah, but that's not refined. This is so crazy. I try to really answer a question to what you just asked.
Okay.
And we pour it, we melt for the Doré bar.
Okay.
And we did that at the fairground.
Yeah.
People thought we were remelting that same bar. So we had just hit that, we were at the beginning of that 10,000 ounce pocket. And the fair manager gave, I said, look, we used to go to the Nevada County Fair. And we have big camps, and the guys would get into it. We have grills and buttons, you know, we did lots. But we were actually pouring these gold bars. And I would be bringing in, we probably poured, several million dollars worth of bars. Right there, because we were working, and why not? We had to work, and people said, what's your security? And said, oh, they're all around here. There's no security. I'm just a miner. We passed the bar around, and people wouldn't believe it. But it's just the same thing. You just look around, and you're just aware. And who would think that anybody would be doing that anyway? So, but we do that, and we still do that here,
okay.
And we can do all that. But we don't take it to the 4-9,
which
is really called refining.
Okay.
So, sorry.
That answers that question. Okay, now I got it.
So we're just going to walk through here.